Good morning, Patriots. And it is Thursday. Man, I'm telling you, I cannot believe how fast this time goes by. Thursday, July 15th. And the month is now half over. And yes, it's half over. And that means we're about 6 weeks away from Bard's Fest, which is a big deal. Bard's Fest, probably what will be, not probably what we are praying to be, the biggest revival in human history. And yes, you need to get your tickets. You need to cruise on over there to Bard's Fest and say, hey, you need to go over there to bardsfm.com/Bard's Fest and say, hey, I need to get my tickets. And you do need to get your tickets. And get your tickets for the great experience of Bard's Fest. You can get your tickets right on the top. It says indoor tickets, outdoor tickets. And there's a nice little video for you to watch. And you scroll on down and you can see this family arena. And you can see the drive-in St. Louis. Two different venues for the same mission. Bringing God into our lives. And a whole list of speakers. And that list is getting more robust every single day. It's just amazing. So get your tickets. Head on over there. Experience one of the greatest revivals in human history. You don't want to miss it. It's incredible. Also, MyPillow, which has now contributed over $70,000 to Bard's Fest, and Mike Lindell is speaking on the 27th of August. Remember, Bard's Fest is the 26th to the 29th of August. Mike Lindell is going to speak on the 27th of August. Absolutely incredible. So head on over there to MyPillow.com. MyPillow.com, use the promo code BARDS, B-A-R-D-S, BARDS, B-A-R-D-S. And get yourself some great product, including a pair of My Slippers, because on the 27th of August is our My Slipper Day. So enjoy My Slippers. And you want to have, it's Slipper Revolution Day on the 27th of August. So you want to have a pair of My Slippers. And we're going to celebrate the success and all that Mike Lindell gave us in this nation. So you want to use your promo code BARDS, B-A-R-D-S. If you want to talk to a live person, which a lot of people do, they're like, man, I'm so tired of buying on the web. So what they did is they provided us with a MyPillow counseling number. It's 800-975-2939, 800-975-2939. That's a special number just for you Patriots that can't sleep, that need a special counseling number. If you call that number and you use the BARDS code B-A-R-D-S and you say, I can't sleep, they're going to tell you exactly what you need. You're going to need some MyPillows, some MySheets, some MyComforter, and your whole time of having to go to the psychiatrist is gone, just like that. You'll be like, okay, is that it? They'll be like, that's it, drug-free, just take those items right there, put them on your bed, close your eyes, plop your head on down, and you will be good to go. And the truth statement right there. So remember, MyPillow.com, Bard's code, B-A-R-D-S is the promo code, and away you go. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. God is a forgiving God. He's also a wrathful God. And those two things we seem to forget the last often. We take for granted his forgiveness, and we seem to forget that there is such a thing as wrath. And wrath is real. But wrath is always done in such a way as to really the point of bringing people back to him, to bringing his children back to him, and to challenging them with such events and such moments that all that is left after all is, that has been stripped away is that people either choose to return to him or they die in this world. Right now, as we walk in this place, I believe we are in such a time that as we watch the entire world unravel, which is unprecedented because never before have we seen an event that has affected every single person on this globe. And it's interesting to roll back to 2015 when then Donald J. Trump started to run for president, how very few people proportionally in the world knew who Trump was. Many people knew his name. They didn't really know who he was. A single presidency became so controversial because the left was so fearful of what he was bringing. He was bringing an awakening to the real people. As we've come to understand, most of our elections that we've known in our lifetimes, I wouldn't even say most, all of the elections that we've known in our lifetime have been severely rigged. And on the presidential schedule, what's that? What that means is not only were they rigged, but the crowds were paid for. Here's a little inside story most people don't know. Do you know that most of the TV shows that you watch or have watched in your life that have live audiences, do you realize that most of those audiences are paid for? That they hire stand-in actors to come in and be audiences to convince you that people travel from all over the world to come to the show. That's the part where people think the story ends. But that's just where it begins. How do you think Barack Obama got the size of his rallies that he did and then suddenly as a president couldn't generate one person? A combination of CGI, computer-generated graphics in a sense, for the television audience, and massive hired audiences in real life gave the perception that he had unprecedented support, when in fact, he had little at all. He didn't rally the masses. He rallied the freaks. He rallied Code Pink. He rallied the angry Black Americans. He rallied the disenfranchised Latinos. He rallied the sodomizers. He rallied the weenie snippers. He rallied the rainbow coalitions. See, he brought in all the freaks. And in so doing so, made a movement of a minority, and with the help of paid audiences, made it look like a majority. All through money, all to make something look real. And in the process, we endured it. We tried to stand up. Some tried to stand up. But it was very evident for anybody that had eyes to see that that presidency was never legitimate from the start. But unfortunately, with all that had gone on from 9/11 forward and all the noise and nonsense that came on with the Bush years, the Bush dynasty, it was very difficult to find a footing to be able to push back against the deep state. What Donald Trump and now President Trump offered was a real assembly of people, hence the reasons that they showed on TV and insisted that media show the real size of the crowds. Because the media knew that it had lied for years. It knew that the crowds were manipulated by the handlers and by them. Central to that entire discussion was to show people that we were strong as a nation. And this is where we have to start understanding to what our strength is and to what our humility must be. We've been convinced that there's some sort of big movement, bigger than us, that can't stop things like aborting children, 75 million of them to be specific. We've been convinced that there's been some big evil always trying to encroach on our border enough to cause us to fight wars that go on for 12, 13 years. Wars that we can't stop, but just have to continue to send our young men and women to return maimed or dead. We've been convinced by them, all of this by them, that we aren't one nation of a common belief, a common core primarily of Christians, but instead that we're a bunch of fragmentized, God-hating, God-rejecting, racial loving people. The difference is the core of our strength, and by difference, it means identifying one another and now finding out who the culprit is for all the evils in the world, which happen to be currently white people, until that changes next week and it becomes Latinos, and then it'll change again and it'll become Native Americans, and then it'll change again and it'll become Black Americans, whatever they use to keep people divided. We're a world that has come to have been forced to believe that we can't do anything about our education system that's run by freaks and communists and people that have sold their soul for the devil. This is what the weakness is. We've been told our government is too big, too powerful for us to topple, and our churches being sold out, almost all of our churches. And as I've said, the 501c3 model of our church, I don't care if it's a good pastor or a bad pastor. As long as they work within the 501c3 model, they are compromised. Even the best of pastors are going to have to start making a decision to step away from that model, to be freed from the corporate yoke and control of a corporate state. Even the best of them. And there are some very good pastors out here, but they can no longer work under a 501c3 model, because that is the control, and that is another part of this whole model, as we've seen the shepherds of society cast away, bought out, sold, and with it they've sold their flock to the devil. But where we are is something very different in reality. All along we had the numbers. All along we had the strength. But what we lacked was the will to believe. We lacked the will to understand that we could together change this world. And it centers back again on 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. These words are now at the center point of where we go. We have to make a choice of a juncture and a road ahead, which God will guide us on. An exodus within a country, not an exodus to go to another land, but an exodus within the country. An exodus of philosophy, an exodus of morals, an exodus of economics, an exodus of the way we choose to live in the new republic. This exodus has to be centered on God's laws. And as we leave the old and humble ourselves before Him, we have to make a choice to give up the ways of the old. And if we do, this land will be healed. God's wrath is total, but God's love is infinite. And we're in a point right now when, if we look at this world from a different optic, an optic of what is really happening, the impossibility that one event could be bringing the entire world to its knees, that's God's hand. Even if it's evil that's behind it, it's God using evil for His benefit. We are in a place across this globe where every single person now knows the name of Donald J. Trump. That in itself is stunning. And that does not mean Trump is anointed. It means that God has used him in such a way as to force everybody to ask a question. Why is it that they hate him so much? That's the question. Because when you follow that path and you start to ask that question, why is it that they hate him so much? If they really face that truth and ask why so much hate for a single man, they'll begin to dig into the real manipulation that's occurred within their heart. One man can't cause that much hate. One man cannot. A man that has done nothing but work to empower people, raise them up, give them strength, return them to the place of being one people again, strong. And for us, that means strong in the name of the Lord. What would cause anybody to hate somebody so much like that? We know. We know because he's the antithesis of what Lucifer's teams want. They're teams of minions that swoop down and they sweep the thoughts and sway the minds of the people, even smart people who become captured by the narrative of hate and the narrative of fear and the narratives of anxiety. And they become so consumed by it that they no longer can see, truly blinded by the perception and deceptions given to so many. But we have a choice and a way to lead all of them from darkness. But it falls on us as a remnant to do just this. To turn from our wicked ways. To pray and seek his face. So that he can hear from heaven and forgive our sins and heal this land. We are fighting this fight on multiple levels. One is the physical level, the levels of daily choice and challenges. It's the trench fight. It's the fight of trying to keep our own path in the midst of an entire world that's trying to suck us into the vortex of hell. That's a difficult walk every single day. Families are turning against us. Friends turn against us. People look at you differently. They skew away from you. They don't want to talk to you. Because in the midst of them thinking of themselves as superior, because you're now a freak in their eyes, what they know in their heart is what they see they fear. They fear what they see in you. And they see in us. And what is it that they fear? They fear the strength and confidence in which we walk in this world, knowing that nothing can touch us, no enemy, no weapon forged against us can succeed. And that makes them tremble. They don't understand how a person can walk without fear or walk without hate. And we don't. How can a people walk with compassion even when in their own hearts, they have hate for you? How can a people walk without fear when in their own hearts they tremble at the idea of an invisible virus that doesn't exist? How can people walk without fear when they defy their overlord? His name is Fauci. We know because we have Christ in our heart and we walk with God and we've humbled ourselves before him. And that fearlessness that we walk with is also a compassionate, loving fearlessness, but it's righteous, and we will not waver. We also face the fight of every single day of the traps and the snares in which they try to find within us. They try to catch us in places to force us in, and they're constantly trying to lure us off of this path. Not an easy path that we walk. And then there's the spiritual fight. Because as we take on the physical fight, which also means that we're trying to, as we try to maintain our this path and return ourselves to God's laws, living humbly by his laws and turning ourselves away from our wicked ways, many of which are so woven into our society that it's almost impossible, it seems at times, to do so, and yet we must. Learning to do without, learning to repurchase, learning to reformat the way our lives work in our homes, stepping away from the traps of debt, mortgages, the obsession of things, letting God guide us in every single step, all in the name of him, because we will do anything in the name of him, the one God, the true God, the one living God, and our King, Jesus Christ. That's our path. And then there's the spiritual fight, which is the fight that we endure, every single one of us each day. As we pray for common themes. We know that we're praying together. Sometimes we pray in groups. Sometimes we pray by ourselves. Our lives are busy and crushed with time, and yet we find time and continue to try to find more time just in prayer with God. And it's the prayers that we seek to humble ourselves, to constantly humble ourselves before Him, to accept and to embrace those pieces of accountability, not to be weak, but to remove them from the battle space so that they can't be used against us, to let Christ heal us from within, and we strengthen that armor. And we do this every day. And every day we rise, and some days it's hard to rise. And some days those days are shed with tears, and other days they're shed with or burdened by weights of so many things weighing down upon us. Other days it just seems like the drudge of the mountains is just too difficult. But we pray, and God is there, and He lifts off those burdens, and we heal those wounds of the heart. And we let those tears flow, and those tears that flow turn into righteousness. And as we gain our strength, and we face an enemy that we know wants to destroy what God has created in every aspect, that turns into righteous indignation. It's a clarity not driven by anger, not driven by hate, but by a pure walk of ruthless forward pressing into this fight. That we will never relent, and nothing they do will intimidate us. Without fear we walk, knowing that there is only one way forward, God's victory over all things. This is part of what makes us so strong, as together and with Him we are a remnant. And that's not said to be elitist. It's the place that we are, because it's going to take a group like this as we are built and continue to grow. It is absolutely unwavering. The closer we get to unrevealing this enemy, the more ruthless it will become. They seek to destroy all things if they can't have everything in their control. They will do anything to either retain power or to destroy God's grace and His beautiful world. They will destroy it totally, and we can't let that happen. Their greatest victory in their eyes is to turn God's children against themselves so that we kill each other willfully. They've seated their many agents around this country. They're sprinkling the dissent everywhere they can. They've infected our military to use our military commanders and the soldiers who are stupid enough to obey, to follow illegal orders, to prepare for a time of chaos. They've turned our law enforcement elements, like the elements of the FBI and even local law enforcement, against us. They've bought off the politicians and have them on a puppet string. They've used our teachers to build indoctrination camps for children, to poison them, to get them injected, to kill them, to destroy them with the thoughts of the mind. And every single layer that they can touch, from the information space to the media space, they've created an environment where truth is constantly being updated in their terms. And yet, we're still here. And in spite of all their efforts, they can't stop us. Because they're not stopping us. They're trying to stop God. We must continue to humble ourselves before Him. Each and every day. Each and every day we must continue to pray and seek His face. And each and every day we must turn and make sure that we continue to turn from our wicked ways. That's many things in that statement. That means not just how we buy, what we buy, who we support with our dollars, because this is a world run on a Babylonian system. But it also means the approach that we take to everything. Putting everything that we do, everything, every breath, every step is a connection with God through prayer. It's walking in that path of Christ where we fearlessly engage people to challenge them in good ways, to rethink the way they see the world, to keep anger from our hearts that corrupt us deeply, and to keep a true path ahead of us that is always placing Him before all things. This is a daily commitment, not one you do once in your life and you check the box and call it over. And it's a daily recommitment that you make a choice each and every day of how you're going to proceed. And it's that that makes the difference. The left is very dedicated to their cause. They're very functional. They organize. They unite under single messages. They aggressively go after things. Even if they tend to lose, they never give in. Because for them, there is no such thing as a loss. It's just a step along the way towards victory. In that sense, they have the right perspective. In our sense, we tend to give up too easily. We tend to think that God's going to make it easy, that God's going to take care of everything. And the left, to their credit, sees that the only way forward for them is to never give in, to constantly fight and never give up. In this world and of this world, we have to fight in the two planes. And even though we are not of this world, once we accept Christ in our lives, it does not relinquish our responsibility to fight in this world. And this is, again, the two planes of battle. That which we see in the spiritual realm, which we cannot touch, but we can influence. And it's a decision, again and again, that we have to make over and over. And it's a recommitment we have to make each day. And unlike perhaps battles run by egomaniacs or those with great prowess and strength, we choose to begin our battle each day from the humility of putting ourselves before God. Because we know something. We know that by doing so, we become stronger in Him. And that He has ultimate domain over all things. The world now is heading towards a massive level of chaos. They're sowing as much as they possibly can, as quickly as they can, because the truth is beginning to spread out of their control. The truth of what their intent was with the injection is now moving beyond their control. The truth of what they did in these elections is moving beyond their control. Ask yourself, why here, of all places, if they've already rigged the election, if they've got their person in power, why are they so concerned about an audit in Arizona? And the truth goes back to where we begin, the fake audiences, the fake numbers, the fake power. And it's something that we've all forgotten. There's only one true power in this world, and that is God, and through Christ to the Father. Yet their illusion has been that if they're in the reign of power, the seat of power, that people will succumb to them. We will not. In fact, defiance must now become the word of the day. As we defy and we refuse to participate, their power weakens. And it's through that strength of working with God that we stand for Him and He works through us, because all the rights that we have, every one of them, unalienable rights, were given by God, not given by men, and therefore cannot be taken away by men or women. Those rights can only be amended by God Himself. And here's the catch of the whole thing. If we refuse to humble ourselves before Him, if we drift away, and if we seek others' face other than Him, if we choose to continue to live by our wicked ways, those rights will go away, and we will be given to the hands of men. And we're seeing now what that looks like. This is truly a time to choose. I know what path I'm on. I know where I sit. And I pray that each one that hears this and listens to this does the same, that this path through Christ to the Father is the only path, that as difficult as it is in our lives to make hard choices, we must choose everything we do. We must take greater responsibility in our lives. That means more time in the day than sometimes we think we have. That means less sleep than we might feel comfortable. It means taking more accountability for everything that goes on, from our prayers to our exercise to our education to our work to the tending and stewardship of our homes to what we eat to how we live to what we accept. It means looking at who's in our circle, being critical with a critical eye of God, to be honest and true to those people. And when we see, not just accepting things, the abominations of God, as okay and normal. This is a challenge because we've gone to a place now in this world where the things that God would absolutely consider sinful, so much in our lives have just, we've shrugged our shoulders and said, okay, we have to accept. Nothing we can do about it. Truth is at the center point of all things. And that also means we have to continue to look deeply within ourselves to see where we're part of it, heal that, and step away from it. The narrow path is a difficult path. There's no instruction manual. There's nothing that says that if you put in part A to part B and pre-paint part C before assembling and making the combined unit of part D, that you're going to get it right. The only way, true way that map works is to keep true to the path with Christ in our heart. Not just by name, but by works. Faith needs wheels. And that means we have to remain active in our faith in this world and pursuant of what God demands of us, which ultimately comes down to the simple framework of life. Love thy neighbor as you would want to be loved. Help those in need. Protect the innocent and those that have no voice. Love God above all things and all people. Have true faith and live and walk without fear. And in the true love of brotherhood, understand that the true love of brotherhood is to lay one's lives down for the benefit of others. That's Christ's words. So there we are. A world, a new world awaits us, a world separate from this matrix of hell that we're currently witnessing, this insanity of inversion that continues to show its ugly face. They can have this zoo. They can have this circus. It's theirs to have. It's time for us to make the break. It's time for us to humble ourselves before Him. And when we say heal this land and forgive our sins, whatever that means in God's eyes, we need to trust in Him that He will be delivered. Wrath is real. His love is infinite. And for us, we have to choose. I choose His love. And that means I walk wherever He guides. And we trust in that destiny, no matter where it takes us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're blessed with this time that we share each and every day, a time for us to reflect and ponder deeply all that is brought to us, all that you give. Let us humble ourselves before you in your name. Let us seek your face. Let us turn from our wicked ways and let us see clearly what those ways are. They aren't just the bold acts of defiance, but they're also the subtle words and subtle patterns that have woven themselves in our lives as we've accepted the sins rather than speaking out against them. Let us find the strength to start raising our voices in opposition to the things that we know are inversion to your ways. Let us find the strength to walk as Christ walked, to speak the truths in the face of the most threatening of evils, and to fear nothing along that path, no matter what they do to us. No weapon forged against us can succeed in separating ourselves from you. Guide us, Lord, in this journey. Protect us in this path, for we know that this path is wrought with dangers and wrought with evil. And let us prevail by raising the sword of the Spirit, your word, Lord, to shine light unto the darkness and to expose it in such a way that it can never again find cover of darkness, that it must always now exist within the light to be exposed for what it truly is. And so with that, Lord, we pray for eyes to see and ears to hear, not just by us, but by the many. That as the world begins to unravel this Luciferian hell that currently exists, as it begins to unwind, let the many see clearly what it is that they were part of, so that they may seek you, Lord, to understand the true importance of humbling themselves before you, bowing before you. And let us heal this land in your name. And we say these things in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. An amazing journey ahead, an amazing time in which we live, an amazing opportunity that God has given us to reforge this world in such a manner that we can remake the foundation of the very world on the respect and love for Him. It begins here, this blessed land that He gave us, a dominion where He rules all and where everyone is accountable to Him. That's what we must return to. And in that way, this nation will be healed and this nation will rise again as one people under God, and indivisible in His name. So keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil. Never relent. Always press into this fight. Prayers right now are necessary to humble ourselves and to heal this nation, and let us keep those prayers active at all times. Be active in prayer, not just those moments you find in the morning or in the evening or the afternoon, but be active in prayer in all things. Keep that conversation with God going. It's a process of breath. It's a process of life. Let Him guide you in all things. For He is with us, He'll never forsake us. In fact, I'd argue, and I think I'm right, that He loves to hear from us all the time, not just a few times. He's in our lives every time, everywhere, and as much as we want. Open the door. Because in the end, He's going to win. And to me, the closer we get to God, the more glorious that victory will be to witness. So as a quick reminder, no storm dispatch this week. I'll be back this evening for Bards FM. I am traveling today, so that show could be pre-posted or it might be late. Just be aware of that. Depends on how my day goes. But there will be a Fishers of Men for certain tonight. So Bards FM could be a little bit late tonight. Just be prepared. Just be on the eyes and on the lookout as a good watcher on the wall. So whenever that is, our next show, I'll see you then or until the next time. Have a very blessed day, Patriots. God bless. And out for now.
Sparks and embers fly wherever we were going. Fire and ice, we built our lives on survival. Guiding past the fault lines, we're running your head. Fire and ice, we hold inside us.